From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Baylor's Board of Regents is now considering firing head coach Art Briles amid a sexual assault and domestic violence scandal. I knew this was bound to happen.
It's about time people started reacting to this, and when you got onto it yesterday, it was because nobody was talking about it. You know, obviously a lot of these things are just allegations, but the problem is when you start getting a pattern and you've had guys convicted already, boy, it's really hard to believe that the guys didn't know anything about it.
Yeah.
A lot of people on Twitter wanted to know, say, about the Rockets in this wonderful offseason situation. The coaching search continues. The Rockets are just a mess. They look like they don't know what they're doing. It started when they fired Kevin McHale 11 games in. I have to admit, I've never really felt like that about these guys before. This time next year, they're looking for another coach if they hire Mike D'Antoni.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I have no confidence whatsoever in this entire organization right now.
They've given you no reason to have confidence, Fred.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jungle Fever, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. If you missed the first 2 hours, you missed lots of wing challenges today. Jong knocked out six of the atomic wings, which, hey, have we given away all those spots now? Or do I have more?
Hold on, give me a sec.
Okay, yeah, let me know. We're having the contest tomorrow. Whoever does it the fastest wins a $100 gift card. So we have one more to give away. We're going to do that right now. Caller 10 at 713-780-3776. But you have to be at Quaker Steak and Lube tomorrow and willing to take part of in the Triple Atomic Wings Challenge. And it'll be tomorrow, Quaker Steak and Lube. FM 45 or on 45 and FM 646, $100 gift card to the winner. And 10th caller who wants to be there, 713-780-3776. And then AJ and I killed off 100 wings between us in an hour and 45 minutes, which might not have been the wisest thing we've ever done. I'm not feeling all that great right now, I'm not going to lie, but somehow we're going to make it through. And for those of you who are trying to make me throw up by putting foot photos on Twitter, I'm no longer looking at Twitter for the rest of the show. So you can stop, all right? I'm not looking at Twitter. I'm not looking at Facebook. And if you text the show, you can't send pictures. So that's all I'm looking at right now. You're not going to make me throw up. If I throw up, it's going to happen like hours from now. I'm fine right now. Really. Sort of.
I think we're past the worst.
Yeah, yeah. The first 5 or 10 minutes or so afterwards was pretty bad. But now I'm kind of feeling like, all right, I just feel like I ate way too much, which I did. So... anyway, you know what would be ironic, John?
If I throw up?
No, because you're fine. I'm not going to throw up. But if I'm sick tomorrow from doing this and unable to go to Quaker Steak and Lube, when the whole point of this was to promote Quaker Steak and Lube.
Right.
So if that does happen, I hope they understand that their wings made me sick. And it wasn't because their wings are bad. It's just because there were 50 of them. Ugh. Can't believe we did that. Of all the lame brain ideas, so I should pay more attention when you come up with these ideas off the top of your head like that. Oh, we'll do 100. Yeah, okay, sure. No problem.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
You were a sucker today or yesterday. I
don't know why you said that either, because usually I'm the one that says, you know what, maybe that's, let's think of something else. That might be a bit much. No, I'm like, oh, yeah, we can do that. Sure.
Yeah, I was frustrated because I thought Jong had tried to throw us under the bus.
Yeah, and so we had to do something to prove that we weren't wimps.
Yeah, we're not scared. We just don't want to be.
No. Although, in retrospect, I think I'd have rather done that. Hey, I got something I wish to share with you, because I know you're a big Sam Bradford fan.
Mm-hmm.
Sports Grid put together 8 stats that show just how much Sam Bradford sucks. And you know how you can take stats and do anything you want with them generally. But these are pretty good. Okay. Here's one of the stats. Since 2010, Sam Bradford has the lowest passer rating of any quarterback to start in 60 or more games.
Okay.
Now, that's not
a surprising number to me. Like, I'm surprised he's the worst.
Well, but if you think about it, there's only 20 guys who have started 60-plus games since 2010. Okay. So the guy he's right behind is Ryan Fitzpatrick. The two spots ahead of that, Joe Flacco and Ryan Tannehill. But there's only there's only been 20 guys. Okay, so you're last in that. All right. Here's another one, though. Since 2010, he has the second lowest completion percentage of any quarterback to start in 60-plus games. The only guy he's better than? Cam Newton.
Okay.
And Cam Newton doesn't have a high completion percentage. But,
well, and he, especially until last year.
Yeah, but he does a few other things. So, and right behind Joe Flacco again. Since 2010, the lowest touchdown percentage of any quarterback to start in 60-plus games. This one is considerably lower than number 19, Ryan Tannehill. Which you could probably pull out all these stats about Tannehill, too, frankly. Only five quarterbacks who have played in 60-plus games have failed to be selected to the Pro Bowl. He's one of them. Here's the Pro Bowls. The guys who played that much of those 20 guys. Bradford, Jay Cutler, Ryan Fitzpatrick again, Joe Flacco, Ryan Tannehill. He's thrown the second fewest yards of any quarterback to start that many games. The only guy he's thrown for more than? Another guy who really doesn't pass a lot, Russell Wilson. Again, number 18 on the list, Ryan Tannehill. Pretty sure you could do this for Tannehill. Right. He's the fewest yards per pass of any of those quarterbacks at 6.45. And according to Pro Football Reference's lowest approximate value, number 20 on the list.
Of course.
And finally, in that stat in the Super Bowl era, he ranks 138th.
What's the cutoff on stats or on starts?
60, but this is since it's the Super Bowl era, approximate value. He ranks for number 138. Would you like to hear the names below him?
Sure.
Rick Meyer. Joey Harrington.
Oh, boy.
Dave Brown. And something called Roland Williams, who I don't even remember.
Those guys had 60 starts, too?
Yes, apparently.
Roland Williams had 60 starts in the Super Bowl era?
That's what it says. 94 games, 68 starts did Roland Williams. His number was 10. Bradford's was 36.
I'm not going to lie. If you would ask me, do I think Sam Bradford started 60 games in his NFL career? I feel like I would have said no.
Yeah. Well, there you go. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to talk a little horse racing when we come back. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN 97.5.
The 141st running of the Preakness Stakes, 5 p.m. Saturday on ESPN 97.5.
And we are back on The Blitz. And we're going to talk a little Preakness with the host of the In the Gate podcast on ESPN. You can follow him on Twitter at B Abrams Voice, as I am doing, and you should be if you're not. And if you recall, we had him on a couple times last year for the Triple Crown, and one thing that Barry Abrams did very well for the people was pull out Tale of Verve and the Preakness, who we then all threw into our trifectas and made some money off of. So, Barry, happy to have you back, and hopefully you got another long shot for the people this week.
Well, Fred and AJ, how you guys doing? I think we may end up with a situation that we had last year where we have an overwhelming favorite who wins and possibly a long shot who comes in right underneath him, like Taylor Verve. The one I might throw out for you this year would be Cherry Wine, the number one horse trained by Dale Romans, who, as you may remember, shocked American Pharoah with a horse named Keen Ice last summer in the Travers. Cherry Wine is 20-1. I don't think he can beat Nyquist, but his best race of his career was last year as a two-year-old when he won in the slop by 9.5 lengths. And there is a half an inch of rain expected on Saturday in Baltimore. So you might want to not overlook Cherry Wine at 20-1 on the morning line.
AJ can vouch for this. I've been touting that horse all week long as my long shot, so now I feel even much better about it. So
That's the truth.
Yeah. And plus, I just think the way the pace is going to set up, he's going to I really think he's getting a piece of it. The one question I would ask is, Nyquist has beaten Exaggerator four times now, and the one thing that sort of stands out is Exaggerator's slop form, especially in the Santa Anita Derby. If it is that wet, does that give him enough to be able to beat Nyquist, or is just Nyquist better than he is at this stage?
Well, obviously, Nyquist has beaten him four times. You can't say that Exaggerator is better or equal, but he's gotten closer each time, and he made up a dozen lengths in the last three quarters of a mile of the Kentucky Derby. If it rains, that doesn't necessarily hurt Nyquist, but it does help Exaggerator. So it will definitely be a horse race. I mean, these are really the only two horses you would think that have a chance to win this race. They just tower over everybody else in here. And so I think Exaggerator is going to have a chance. You have only 11 horses, so you're not going to have a huge amount of traffic with which to deal. I don't think it'll be that difficult to work out a trip. So I give Keith DeSormo, the trainer of Exaggerator, credit for coming back on 2 weeks' rest when he's not the Derby winner. But as we've seen three of the last 4 years, you've had the Derby winner win the Preakness. So the idea that you can't run well on 2 weeks' rest really doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and trainers, especially Baffert's talked about this a lot. It's just it seems like they're always still in form after the Derby, even as grueling as it is, and it's always the Belmont that they don't have anything left for. It seems almost counterintuitive considering the way people run horses these days and spread out their races so much that 2 weeks later that most of them seem to keep their form.
Well, sure, and look at even Mind That Bird in 2009, who was really nothing before the Kentucky Derby, won it at 50-1 odds, and 2 weeks later lost by a head to Rachel Alexandra in the Preakness, and there's no shame at all losing to Rachel Alexandra, who this year goes into the Hall of Fame. He never really did anything after that either, but he held the Derby form in the Preakness. So, yeah, I think absolutely Exaggerator's going to have every chance to beat Nyquist. What I'm interested in here, and I'm not saying it's going to happen, I don't have any inside knowledge of it, but with Nyquist going from the three post near the inside, especially since there's supposed to be slop, and of course, as our listeners may or may not know, a racetrack is crowned. It's highest in the middle by a little bit and lowest on the edges, so the water runs off. So usually when it rains, the footing down along the rail is not the best. I wonder, with all of the early speed, as you mentioned, guys, with Nyquist sitting behind that speed and not being able to get the spot right behind the leader, because he's going to have a bunch of them, if some of those other riders, like the rider of Lanny and Abiding Star and Fellowship, if they don't just try to box him in and race ride, so to speak, meaning, you know, Nyquist has the target on his back, and they say, we're not going to let you out to get the better footing. We're going to make sure you get a lot of mud kicked in your face, and we're going to make sure you get the worst footing, and maybe that's our only chance to beat you. I wonder if that sort of thing happens. Of course, the other jockeys are not going to give that away, but with him on the inside, it's interesting.
Yeah, and the other thing, just from a tactical perspective, that I found interesting was what Kent DeSormo said a little earlier this week about they may have to reconsider their tactics with Exaggerator. He has enough speed to be closer. I'm not so sure that's the right move for them. I think he's run his best races when they've dropped him back. But how much does that affect things if they try to keep him within a couple of lengths of Nyquist this time as opposed to just dropping back and making their run?
Well, I think that's possible, too, because Nyquist is not going to be able to get all the way up to the lead because you have so much speed in there. Uncle Lino and Lauban and Collected. Those horses are all going to awesome speed. Those horses are all going to be up near the lead. And so Nyquist is going to have to be a couple of lengths behind them. And so it won't be as hard for Exaggerator to stay within sniffing distance. But, yeah, I'm sure that Kent DeSormo is going to want to push Exaggerator just a little bit, keep him interested, so he doesn't have to make up a dozen lengths in three quarters of a mile.
Two horses that are new to the party that are kind of interesting and at moderate odds is Pletcher has Stradivari in there, who's coming off two big wins, not against much, even at Keeneland in one of them, but very impressive number-wise. And Baffert's got Collected in there, who really has only had the one awkward race in his career at the Southwest. Other than that, he's been pretty impressive. Do you give either one of these a chance, or are they trifecta factors at best?
I don't know if they can win. I'm not so sure about collected. I mean, Bob Baffert's won the Preakness six times, so it's hard to overlook anything he brings. And Javier Castellano's the best jockey in the country, so it's hard to say they can't. But he's a speed horse, too. And I just don't know if he can carry that speed to victory when there's going to be so much other speed in the race. If he had it all his own way, if he was the lone speed in here, Pimlico can be a speed-favoring track, and if it rains, which it's expected to, then it's hard to close ground. So that works in his favor. All of that stuff works in his favor. But with all that speed around him, I'm not sure he can carry it that far. Stradivari is interesting. Todd Pletcher's never won the Preakness. For everything else that he's won, he has never won the Preakness. And this horse, if you watch those two victories that he had, he's only run three times. He ran in November in New York before Pletcher went down to Florida for the winter. Tried to get him a race before he went to Florida for some reason. Wasn't really cranked up for that. Didn't do that well. Ran evenly. And then ran in December and ran in April and was devastating. I mean, effortless. I mean, like he glided right over the ground, like he was walking on air. What does that mean when you translate him into big-time competition? Can he beat Nyquist? He's only run three times. It's going to be a challenge. But, man, those two efforts were effortless. He's got a lot of class. It's a question of how quickly he's developing. I would look for him underneath, but at 8-1, I don't know if he was 12-1, 13-1, I might be more inclined, but seems like an underlay to me at 8-1. I need to see more.
Yeah, I saw you tweet out that's a number that you would have liked to seen a little bit higher, and maybe it still will be on race day.
Well, here's the thing. The public may have it right. I can't knock the public, because in the Kentucky Derby, you know, the public doesn't always get it right. That's why people make money in horse racing. But they had Nyquist as the favorite, Exaggerator second, Gunrunner, Mohaman, and Sudden Breaking News in that order, and that's exactly how they finished in the Kentucky Derby. So I can't knock the public for saying 8-1 is about where Stradivari should be. I just wish it was a little higher.
Yeah, I can almost assure you that any time it finishes first favorite, second favorite, third favorite, fourth favorite, I'm not going to have any piece of it, and I didn't in the Derby. One more I want to ask you about before we let you go, the Japanese horse who came over, ran in the Derby. I'm never a fan of horses coming from Dubai, but watching that race a couple times, and it's easy to ignore the horses that run ninth and tenth, but in reality, he ran a pretty good race to be ninth. He walked out of the gate. He had a lot of trouble on the turn and around the top of the stretch, and he kind of kept running. He wasn't in the race, but it wasn't like he ran terrible. Has he got any chance of being closer if he actually gets out of the gate here, or the best we can hope for is that he's probably going to run fourth or fifth?
Well, you might be right and right, because he did run a decent race. You're absolutely right. And then the trainer, Mikio Matsunaga, took Lonnie immediately to New York to train him and give him wider turns and a home base that he's going to be used to, because he plans on running the horse in the Preakness and the Belmont. So he took him right to New York, and he's appreciated the training there. He's been a model citizen in New York, which he was not in Kentucky, as I'm sure your audience knows. He acted up. He was yelling and screaming, looking at the ladies on the track, you know. But he's been a model citizen in New York, and he's done a lot of training. So, and he's a son of Tappet, who is the leading sire in the country for the last 2 years, record-breaking sire. So he is a decent horse, but I think it's still asking a lot of him for all the travel that he did, being away from home and stuff like that. But I think he's going to run a better race here in the Derby, in the Preakness, because he's more settled, he's been here longer, and he's had a stable training base, and he's trained very well since the Derby. So I think he is going to run a better race. I don't think he can beat Nyquist, but I think he's better than 30-1.
All right, Barry, tell people a little bit about your podcast, the In the Gate, which is terrific. Do a great job with it. Tell people how they can get it and check you out and get more information from you.
Well, we're basically taking over the world. You can get us on ESPN.com. You can get us on iTunes, TuneIn.com, Stitcher, YouTube, by searching In the Gate Podcast. We usually do it every week, but during peak periods like Derby Week, and if there's Triple Crown on the line, Belmont Week, and Breeders' Cup Week, we do it every day. So we have a lovely podcast coming up at the conclusion of the Preakness, maybe you remember the connections of Nyquist, who were the connections of I'll Have Another 4 years ago. They had a very inspirational 12-year-old girl from the Make-A-Wish Foundation named Hope Hudson, who, after the Derby win, Doug O'Neill called her up to the podium in the press conference and says, "You're coming with us to the Preakness." And she became part of the team. And we're going to check in on her story and see how she's doing. So if you tune in to ESPN.com after the Preakness, we'll have a chat with Hope and her mom.
Oh, that sounds awesome. Barry, always appreciate the time. And let's do this again before the Belmont, sir.
Oh, super. Thanks, guys. Anytime.
All right. Barry Abrams, host of the In the Gate podcast on ESPN. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at @BAbramsVoice. And always fun to have him on the show. All right. So if I wanted to, never mind, I'm not going to use that transition.
I'll just tell you about one of my favorite brands. It's opened up a store recently here in Houston. The brand's called 511 Tactical. The new 511 Tactical store is a must-stop shop. Is that how you would say it? I almost cursed there on accident. For all you outdoorsmen out there in Houston, 511 Tactical is a brand. Is the authentic and the first tactical brand that specializes in outdoor gear from head to toe. They create superior, innovative products to survive in outdoor conditions. These guys are brand innovators who make purpose-built gear for the most demanding missions. I think back to when I was in the Army, and if they had the stuff available now, available to me back then, my life would have been so much easier. It would have been so much easier to survive in harsh conditions. The store is truly an outdoorsman's paradise. They've got a little bit of everything, whether it's everyday weatherproof shirts and pants with hidden pockets where you can conceal your weapon if you choose to pack. They've got fitness gear, boots, bags, backpacks, gun cases, not guns, slings, holsters, knives, and for the ladies, they've even got 511 yoga pants. Stop by the new 511 Tactical Store. It's located at 5870 Westheimer Road. You're not going to want to leave. They've got everything you can imagine in there. Whether you're looking for tactical gear or you're just looking for weekend hiking gear, you're going to love it. They've got a laser shot simulator in the back that's fun for all ages, including grown-ass men like me. Check out the new 511 Tactical Store today. Tell them AJ Hoffman sends you. Once again, it's 5870 Westheimer Road in Houston. 511 Tactical.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah. To all the killers and the $100 billers.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. Hey, let's give something away. Two tickets to the USA Basketball Showcase presented by Verizon. You've seen them battle each other. Imagine what they can do together. USA Basketball Showcase will feature the USA Basketball Men's National Team playing the 2015 FIBA Africa Zone champion Nigeria. Monday, August 1st at Toyota Center. Tickets are on sale now. Visit toyotacenter.com to purchase yours today. Actually, it says the Men's National Tema. Yeah, Tema. Anyway. All right, well, talk for a minute, damn it. I had to go. Caller number 15. I got you through the last segment.
Did you?
And you got Hoffman on Hollywood to get me through the last one. So if we can just kind of double up here, we'll be all right.
Yeah. Did you see this? The latest tweet from Art Briles. I wonder if Art Briles tweets his own tweets. But he
probably not.
He tweeted out a thing with academic stats from Baylor. 43 cumulative GPAs of 2.75 or higher. That's the highest fall term GPA of all time for football. 13 student athletes who graduated by the bowl game. 27 student athletes graduated by summer 2015-16. 28 student athletes placed on Big 12 Commissioner's Honor Roll fall 2015.
How many rapes?
I'm getting to that.
Oh.
Total student athletes placed on Big 12 Commissioner's Honor Roll, 53. And Baylor football won the Baylor Athletics Provost Award for the 2015-16 season for having the highest ever team GPA during a competition season.
Which that could mean nothing, actually.
Right. So it's a bunch of nice stats about Baylor and their graduation rates, things like that. But
which nobody cares about.
The worst thing is the hashtags that he uses. One is #BaylorFootballBeAChampion. Okay. The other two, hashtag truth don't lie, hashtag be courageous.
He chose poorly.
Oh, boy.
If Art's not tweeting his own tweets, stop.
I'm sure he's not. I'm sure he's not.
Not wise, guys.
Oh, well. Jared says, just goes to show how the professors are corrupt at Baylor as well. Oh, don't be mean. Come on. Every school fudges the athletes' grades. Come on. Go talk to North Carolina. They'll tell you all about that. I had another story I wanted to try to get to about how dumb parents are.
Okay.
Now, I know when you had kids, you actually thought out what you were going to name them, right? You didn't just say, oh, we're going to come up with something stupid.
No, we discussed it.
Yeah. I remember before the last one, there was a lot of talk. You actually put some thought into it, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's not what happened to Melissa McClain and her husband, David. They had twins. So I'll cut them a little slack because I know it's hard to come up with two kid names. But, yeah, there's a lot of ways you can go with twins. You can get similar names or something like that.
Usually they start with the same letter or something.
Yeah, you know.
I have cousins who are twins, and they are named Stacy and Tracy.
Yeah, see, that's fairly common.
That's what a lot of twin moms do.
Yeah, and nothing really wrong with that. Well, they weren't identical twins. But there was a boy and a girl, and the girl they named Taylor. So Taylor McClain. Fine, right? So you figure they'd give the boy a reasonable name too.
You'd figure if they were reasonable parents, their son's name would be John.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, obviously. No.
Also Taylor?
No.
Well, that's good, because that would have been the worst case scenario.
That right? That would have been worse to have a Taylor. But I think this might even be worse, because they're totally unrelated. Taylor and Espen.
Espen?
Espen.
And it's a real thing?
Apparently a couple years ago, there were like five people named Espen. But hopefully, I thought it kind of had gone away, that people would, you know, and I know that it doesn't.
No one names their kid Blitz.
Well, they should Blitzen. Name their, or you know, Fred and AJ. They could call them that. That'd be fine. Espen? Espen? Come on. I mean, I know Fox Sports 1 doesn't sound very good and doesn't make a great name, but don't name your kid Espen. So you're dooming this kid. So Taylor is going to be the one who's, you know what? Neither one of them is going to be successful in school because their parents are idiots. But Taylor's going to be the one that everybody likes, and Espen's going to be the one that, you know what you're dooming that kid to be. It's like naming your daughter Bertha, where you know she's going to be really big and she's not. Yeah. Yeah. Espen is not going to be athletic.
No.
No, he's not going to be a sports star. You know, he's going to be a fat guy who spends the rest of his life sitting on the couch watching Fox Sports 1.
Probably so.
Because he's so bitter at his parents for naming him Espen.
He's probably the kind of kid who's going to get his ass kicked.
Yeah. Probably.
That's just my guess.
Yeah, take that, Espen.
Oh,
yeah, he's going to hear that constantly.
He better hope that he's really, really good looking.
This is for Stephen A. Smith. Yeah. Anyway, just felt like sharing that for no real reason. Apparently, the most popular baby names for 2015 did not make the list.
Did we do a gym of the day?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, I don't even remember.
That was right after we finished with the wings.
Say, yeah,
I was in a food coma,
it
too.
It was the substitute 49-year-old teacher.
Yeah, who banged the
70s. And I looked up the picture.
I'm right.
You're right. You're right.
If that didn't make me throw up, none of the pictures that you guys were trying to send me to make me throw up was going to happen.
She looked like she came from the graveyard.
But when you were 17,
in the
would you
graveyard?
Have?
No,
really.
No matter how thirsty I was, I would not sip that.
When you were 17, how many times had you gotten laid?
Zero.
And you, if that was throwing it at you, you still would have said,
hell no.
Dude, would you want that to be?
I've got to look up the picture now. I got to see if I would have done it.
No, not for your first.
Oh, but by the time I was 17, I was.
You didn't care.
I was doing okay.
I was 105 pounds when I was 17.
Well, that's her left leg.
Yes, I had trouble gaining weight when I was 17, and she would have crushed me.
If she was on top.
Yeah, you don't have to. Yeah, you could go skin swimming and find your way.
I don't think I could have gotten in there.
I got to see this picture.
Trust me. You can.
I just Googled 49-year-old substitute teacher graveyard. It's the first story that comes up.
Oh, 713. Browse is just pointing out that he recruits smart rapists. Oh, boy. So,
let's see.
Apparently, Espen is the daughter's name in one of the Adam Sandler movies. Well, that explains why that movie didn't take off either.
I mean,
I could see it for a movie. That's funny. Not for a real life kid.
I'm not going to lie. Like, the lady's not, I mean, the lady, she's a big girl. But she's not
a
like,
big fat person.
She's not like overly massive.
No, but she's disgusting looking.
She's not
on top.
Attractive.
Yeah, like, on top of being really large, she's just disgusting looking.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, hey, you know, nowadays I probably would. But back then, no, not when I was 17. I didn't want that to be. You don't want that on your early resume. How do you get a better job?
It's hard to get your batting average up.
Exactly.
At that point. Yeah.
You get the mileage. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Like if over the course of your life, the girl you've had sex with on average has been a 7. If that's your first one, it's going to take so long for you to get average up to 7.
Yeah. But see, once you get to be, you know, old, it's like being in baseball for 20 years.
Yeah.
You've got 3,000 at-bats, then, okay, a strikeout's not going to hurt you.
Well, if you hit 320 for 12 seasons in a row and you hit 280 one season, you're still a 300 hitter.
I think if you were hitting that, you would be hitting 280. Anyway.
Come on. Hey.
Guys, we got to tell you about Blue Apron. And you know what? This is going to be the first night this week that I'm not eating Blue Apron.
I'm not eating Blue Apron and not eating. But I did tell my wife, don't you dare make that Blue Apron while I'm gone and waste it on the kids.
Yeah.
They can't eat it if I'm not going
to
eat it.
That's what I told Val. She needs to go out and eat tonight somewhere because I wasn't, because we had.
You're not eating dinner.
Not eating dinner.
Whose birthday is it, John? Why is there birthday cake in there?
I have no idea.
Hey, there's birthday cake. I ate a piece of birthday cake. Not a whole piece, but
trying to get the taste out of your mouth?
A bite, so I wouldn't taste chicken anymore.
See, I drink coffee for that reason.
Okay.
Mike Pearson, after he had that one wing, he went and got himself a slice of birthday cake because his mouth is on fire.
Yeah, well, you were well prepared for that, John. Well done.
Yes, it was.
But you want to be well prepared for a great, great dinner. That's what Blue Apron is going to do. And they're going to send you everything you need to cook a fantastic, healthy meal. And honestly, I've yet to get a bad one from there yet. Had another great one last night with a shrimp curry dish. And I mean, I'm telling you, this stuff is fantastic. Incredible ingredients. You can do it in less than 40 minutes. And even I can cook it. It's that simple. And they've got so many great things. And less than $10 a meal. They deliver seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. And it's so easy to just get on there and order. And your food shows up each week. And I'm telling you, less than $10 a meal. You're going to save money. You're going to eat healthier. And you're going
to
love it.
And it's almost like an adventure. I mean, you get to pick out the meals that you want. You can choose from a variety of meals they have available to you. So if there's something that you're not into, you can pass on it that week and get something else instead. But you're also going to learn a lot of new recipes, and it's going to open your mind up to a lot of things you never would have thought to eat before. Check out this week's menu. Get your two meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/blitz. You're going to love how good it feels, how good it tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/blitz. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. The Blitz is going down 45 South again tomorrow to do a live broadcast. Join us at Quaker Steak and Lube on 45 and FM 646 in League City from 4 to 7. Friday's special features local brewery Running Walker IPA for just $4 plus lots of other happy hour specials. Visit ESPN975.com for more info. That's if we're still alive, although I think I'm going to make it. Starting to feel better. All right.
Good.
I think a little alcohol would do me a world of good when I get home. Anyway, all right, let's do Hoffman on Hollywood.
Yeah. I got to be honest, this was kind of a weak week for Hollywood.
Yeah.
And on top of that, like with me feeling the way I did, I couldn't find anything that I felt was great. So just so you're prepared.
Okay, so you could just say we don't really have Hoffman on Hollywood this week.
No.
I mean, that's okay. The people will be fine with it. You entertain them today by eating your half of 100 wings.
I just don't. I didn't. I looked for stuff that I thought would be really interesting, and I just was not. There's a bunch of people bitching about the new Ghostbusters trailer. And
yeah, which we already talked about.
Yeah. Like, do you really want to hear about Alanis Morissette getting ripped off by her manager?
No.
Okay.
And I've seen every headline where someone had a hand in her pocket. Ooh, yeah, we get it.
What about Demi Lovato being a cokehead? Is that interesting to you?
Not really. Not unless she's sharing.
She was. She's not a cokehead now.
Oh, well, then that's no fun.
So that. And then how about, speaking of bad names, do you remember Punky Brewster? Salil Moon Frye?
I didn't know her real name, but okay. That's her real Punky, name. Kind of a bad name.
Well, that was her TV name. Yeah. Salil Moon Frye is
also
her
not real
name.
Good. That's not, I mean, they both suck, but okay.
She has three, she had three children already. A daughter named Poet Sienna Rose.
Okay, that's stupid.
Jagger Joseph Blue.
Okay, that's not as bad.
That's a girl, by the way.
Oh, then now it's as bad, yes.
Yeah. Her daughters are named Poet Sienna Rose and Jagger Joseph Blue.
Yeah, that would have been kind of a cool guy name, but no.
Right. Her son's name is Lyric Sonny Rhodes.
Lyric. Okay.
Now she's got a new son. We don't have his full name yet, but his first name is Story. It's not going to go well.
No, those kids are going to get so beat up.
Yeah. I guess this is not Hollywood related by any stretch, but I got to tell you something about my own son.
Well, he's going to be a big star someday, so it is Hollywood related.
It's not going to be anytime soon because he brought home a permission slip to perform in the talent show at school. And I did not sign the permission slip. I told him I didn't want him to do it. My son is good at a lot of things. He's not good at singing.
Yeah. And that's what he wanted to do.
He wanted to sing Hello by Adele. He would have sounded like Jong on a drunk Friday.
Hey, now Jong sounds good when he's drunk, though. Maybe you just need to get the kid drunk.
He's 8 years old. It's illegal.
Actually, I don't know if it's illegal for you to get him drunk.
I think it's definitely illegal for me to get him drunk and send him to school.
Well, yeah, sending him to school would
to
probably be.
To be in a talent show. Well, John, do we have your audio of Hello still, or is that
I'll have to
gone?
Find it. I don't think we have time to play it.
But my wife didn't want to be the one to tell him because she didn't want him to feel like she doesn't believe in him. But she agreed with me that this is not a good idea.
Terrible idea, right?
Yeah.
He'd be humiliated.
And when I told him no, he was pretty broken up about it. Did I do a? Is that a bad parenting move or a good move?
I'm all about honesty, man.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I didn't. I felt a little guilty, but.
You got to do the right thing sometimes. My kids have always appreciated me talking them out of stuff like that.
I think one day he'll look back and go, "Dad."
Yeah. Thanks.
Thanks for not letting me sing Adele Hello.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing worse had been if he'd come in and said, for the talent show, I'm going to dress up as a transgender person and do a magic act.
Yeah.
That would have been worse. So, good move. Good move, Dad. A lot of people ask me if I have any plays tonight. I do not, mainly because I think the Sharks are going to win and they're minus 140, and I only play these games when I like the dog. If you really have to do something, over 5 is plus 105.
Okay.
I do think there'll be more than 5 goals scored tonight, but I'm not playing it. It's just like last night, I liked the Pens, but they were a minus number, so I didn't do it. So tonight, I like the Sharks. They're a minus number. When I find one that I like the plus on, I will tell you.
All right.
So, all right. One thing I really like is my good friends at Houston Can Academies, because they take at-risk kids who've dropped out of other schools. They don't know what to do. Houston Can Academy takes them in. A lot of them had to get jobs. A lot of them drop out for a variety of reasons. And these are kids that if they didn't get a second chance, who knows where they'd wind up. Houston Can Academy takes them in. They give them a second opportunity. They work around their schedules. They give them everything they need so that these kids can succeed. And so many of them do. So many of them go on to graduate and do great things. And they would have never gotten that opportunity without Houston Can Academies. Well, you can help. You can help these kids get a second chance just by donating a vehicle you're not using anymore. Doesn't matter what the vehicle is. Doesn't matter what kind of shape it's in. They're going to come tow it absolutely free of charge. Your donation is tax deductible. They're going to fill out the paperwork. And if you donate today, they're going to give you Astros tickets if you tell them you heard about it on the Blitz. That's how cool they are over there. And I'm telling you, man, it doesn't matter what kind of shape the vehicle's in. Maybe it was something that got flooded. Maybe it's something you had parked in front of your house and you just didn't know what to do with. Well, they'll come and take care of it for you. All you have to do is make the phone call. Get rid of something you don't need anymore. Help change a life. 713-225-4226. 713-225-4226. Or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
Hello from the other side.
Oh, yes. How many times did you call?
Must have called a thousand times.
That's right. What were you going to tell me?
To tell you I'm sorry.
For what?
For everything I've done.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.